Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Welcome to the Creator Spotlight, the interview portion of the Spotlight here on Fightful. I, as always, am Steven Jensen, joined with Jeremy Lambert. And today, our guests are here to talk about Fight Pro, which is a new promotion, or a promotion that's new to IWTV starting on June 6th. It's going to be exclusive over there, 13 episodes. We have not only the event manager, Ernie Osiris, here, we also have Logan Easton LaRue. Thank you both for joining us very much. How are y'all doing today?
I'll defer to Logan first.
I'm doing great. I'm here with you guys, ready to talk about Fight Pro and to spread the word about how sweet I am.
And I too am well, guys. Thanks for having us on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. We
thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. Yes.
Absolutely. Fight Pro looks very interesting. I've been doing some research and seeing what you guys got going on. And If Ernie, if you want to kind of just start off by telling people a little bit about the company, because I love the concept here with like the divisions and the different, opportunities of getting towards the title belt and everything you got going with Fight Pro.
So, right. So Prince Nana is the owner and promoter of Fight Pro. And
right.
He had come up with this. We all sat down one day. We figured out like, what could we do to make wrestling not better, but how could we be different from everything else? Because everything you see on the independents is roughly the same. Everything you see on national TV is roughly the same. So we were trying to go in a different direction. And that's when we came up with Fight Pro. Fight Pro is based on rules. If you break certain rules, there are violations. For other rules, there are disqualifications. It's based on a sports structure. So basically, it's season-based. So we start the first episode is usually our draft episode, which will also introduce how the operation works. And then as you go on, you'll see we have three divisions: our hybrid division, which is our men's division, which is basically the general rule set for all of Fight. And then there is the grapplers division, which is our women's division, which gets a little more specific into rules, as well as our tag team division. We try to keep the three divisions, three divisions basically. And then, you know, you have your division alternates. If a fighter can't show up one day, or if they have to bow out because of other obligations or commitments, we have alternates that fill in those spots. Because again, just like independent pro wrestling, everybody's looking for that opportunity, and we try to provide that opportunity in as many ways as possible.
So the concept, I mean, seems kind of a little bit like MMA, with the divisions and everything. Like, how much MMA influence is there when it comes to the alignments of the company?
So honestly, everything is more or less professional wrestling based. I mean, the idea was not so much MMA. It was thinking like sports do, right? So in football, you get a flag, or in soccer, you get a card. It's kind of like the same thing in Fight. Our referees wear red wristbands. So when somebody gets an infraction or a violation, the referee will throw up the red wristband stating to the people in the audience that there was an infraction that was had, whether it was hair pulling or a punch to the face or manipulation of the trunks or tights or gear. And then for the fans at home, we have a lower third bar, which has our time limit, the names of each fighter. And then you get four violations, basically. So the first one is a warning, which is like your yellow card. And then the next three are red cards, basically, which are your violations. And down on the lower third, on the bottom of each fighter, you will see four dashes, and they will actually light up so people will know at home. And they will also see at home what happened to that fighter, what caused that violation. So it'll like pop up, warning, hair pulling, violation, punch to the face, you know, so everybody can see what's actually going on and visualize and translate properly to everybody at home.
Yeah. Logan, I've been following your career for quite a while. You know, I know you've been a wrestler for a long time, but I actually saw you live, geez, years ago. Now I saw you at Southern Underground Pro against Alley Cat, like forever ago. Now it feels like in Nashville. And I followed your career ever since. And how did you get involved with Fight Pro?
I know the manager here, Ernie Osiris. I also have a very special relationship with Prince Nana. Could be King Nana if he keeps trying. And through that, I think they knew what a great athlete I was. So I was contacted to be in Fight Pro, and you'll see just how that works out when it airs on IWTV. Yeah, that would have been so long ago. Unfortunately, I don't know that SUP is running anymore.
We interviewed Kevin Koo just the other week, actually, coincidentally enough, and they're in a spot right now where obviously VIF is super busy as a tag team, mm-hmm. but then they're just looking for a venue, it sounds like, right now, because I guess like Live Nation has taken over Basement East and a lot of the venues in Nashville, so it's just harder to book wrestling, I guess, now than it was before. So they are still running, it sounds like, but it's been like a year since they've run a show.
Okay. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Alley Cat snuck one on me, but
yeah, I remember that. I mean, actually, I do want to talk a little bit more about your career as well, and I want to talk more about Fight Pro. We'll kind of try to mend the two, but you know, I mean, I'm familiar with Blank as well. I mean, can you tell people about this, or is this something that's you've heard of this guy?
Yeah,
okay. You've heard of this guy. Okay, I've heard of this guy as well. Didn't know if that was something that you wanted to just touch on it or not, because I've
heard. I'm pretty familiar with his career. So if you have questions about Blank, I can try to help you.
I was wondering what the status of Blank's career potentially is, if we might see them pop up. Because Blank has, like, I remember seeing Blank get a win over Orange Cassidy, a straight up pinfall win over Orange Cassidy once. And like, I remember ever since then being like, I think big things are coming for Blank. And then Blank kind of comes and goes, you know, and I just really wasn't sure. I figured you'd be the guy to ask, but you know, I wasn't 100%.
He's kind of like P.T. Anderson or some of these other like great directors that'll like project and then take half a deck.
Okay, fair enough. Jeremy, go ahead.
I was gonna ask about the deal with IWTV and kind of how that came together with Fight Pro, so I'll throw that to Ernie.
So it's funny because when we started the idea of how were we going to distribute this to everybody was the big topic of, or the big question, really. At first, we were trying to do it on our own, and it's very hard to reach people, whether it be through like YouTube or even just through our website or for ourselves. And then Nana and the management team kind of came up with the idea of, well, let's shop it around, let's see what happens. And, you know, at first, we were hesitant towards IWTV, and the only reason being was because there's so much content on IWTV. It's just, we didn't want to get lost in the shuffle. But after sitting down and talking with them, we figured out it was the best home possible for Fight. I mean, they've gone above and beyond to, whether it be a commercial for us or a trailer to launch, helping us with media, whatever it was, they really were on board with this idea and this concept. It was something original to them, and they thought it would help their brand, I guess, as much as it would help us. And hopefully, you know, when it debuts June 6th, everybody's going to see that, you know, this really is a unique concept. We've always, for myself at least, I've always wanted to see what wrestling would look like in a sports atmosphere, basically. And we do our best to provide that, you know. I mean, you're going to see, like, we get into, like, wild card rounds. We get into the playoffs where there's a tournament, basically. And then we get into our championship finals, you know. But everything is really centered around trying to be as sports-centric as possible, with also understanding that, you know, it's professional wrestling. And professional wrestling has to be the top priority, basically. So, but yeah, IWTV was very eager to have us, as much as we were eager to realize that this was going to be a great home for us.
When it's a tall task too. I mean, 13 episodes, that's a lot of content to be putting out there. But IWTV, it's like a proven formula. If you have a good product, like Beyond Wrestling, and then with Southeast First, how they did Beyond, or I always call it Beyond Wrestling, Uncharted Territory, out of habit. But
right.
You know, the weekly episodic type. Action Wrestling has done things similar as well on the platform, weekly television and stuff. So what are kind of maybe some of the challenges of doing like a 13-week show? And then also, I don't know if you mentioned this already or not, but like how many matches could you expect per episode?
So we started with doing like basically live to tape shows. And when we did that, we were doing six or seven matches in an episode, basically. So we took like basically a full card. We just, six or seven matches tops. But now, you know, with time limits, and we actually, with our sponsors too, which is a big deal, we've provided commercials for our sponsors. You're going to watch this, and there's going to be commercials for our sponsors. There's going to be advertisements. There's going to be, it's almost going to be like you're watching like on AEW or a Monday Night Raw on IWTV. But our shows generally range from anywhere from 90 minutes to 2 hours. So we wanted to make sure that we weren't losing audience either, you know, because again, when you get into 3 hours, when you get into 4 hours, it just becomes another independent wrestling show. And we wanted to make sure that, you know, the matches everybody was watching were great matches, but also we have time constraints as well. And we tried to keep it to that. I'd say the hardest part for all of this was gathering talent. I think because we had to have contingency plans for talent who got booked elsewhere, right? You know, you'll see. We're very transparent. When somebody forfeits, we give the exact reason why they forfeited their spot. You know, we're not making a story out of it. It's not like we're not trying to undermine anybody either, but we wanted to be as transparent as possible, like any sport. Somebody gets injured, they got injured, so they had to forfeit their spot. Somebody gets a call up to AEW or WWE, well, you know, they got called up, they had to forfeit their spot. I mean, it's very simple, but to have the contingency plan to follow that was the difficult task. And our team really took to that challenge, and everything very much is very fluent. When you watch, you'll see like it still makes sense, right? Somebody's out, somebody's in, it still makes sense. It's not up in the air of, well, what the heck just happened here. So I think that was the most challenging part of doing all 13 episodes.
Have you gotten any feedback from the wrestlers as far as how the rules work, how the formats work? Because, look, I love the sports presentation of wrestling. I think wrestling could use more of that.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But there is, obviously, wrestling is sports entertainment. You got to have your comedy segments and things like that, especially if like it's national television. So have you gotten feedback from wrestlers of like, hey, I really like that it's this conducive when it comes to sports, but maybe we can expand on something here?
And how do you like it, Logan? Also, like, how do you like the format, being a wrestler yourself?
Sometimes it's a little more difficult. However, I think having those parameters and having rules, it actually, like, I think for a lot of wrestlers in their minds, it limits what they can do. Whereas I think it actually expands it, because if the rules matter and, you know, your frame is important, you have more you can really focus on what the story being to, or the action that's happening, the win you're trying to get, what you're trying to do to win, as opposed to like, pulling out a chair, or I won't stop using the rope until the referee pulls me back, or this or that. And like, when there's the real fear as a viewer and as a wrestler of like, you might get disqualified, you might have to forfeit this. And I do think to some degree, especially with a lot of independent wrestling now and wrestling on TV now, frankly, that's lost. So I think a lot of the wrestlers took it as a challenge, but kind of a welcome challenge and like an exciting opportunity, maybe even to go along with the challenge. I don't know if that makes sense, but
no, it does. Absolutely.
Yeah, it does.
Sure.
Okay.
And has that been kind of, Ernie, has that been kind of like the consensus? Kind of what Logan's saying?
Yeah. Our biggest concern, as always, as you see, is we didn't want the referee to be a third wheel. You know, the referee has always been the other dance partner in that ring, right? And to make it work, you need that third dance partner. I don't care who you are. You know, it really works best when there's three parties working together to make something happen. In terms of the rules, I mean, the idea was strategy, right? Nobody's saying you can't bend the rules, but it's really about how you use them to your advantage. Maybe you don't use them at all. Maybe that's the way you want to run the whole season. But you know, we have a rule, and this is something that is actually new to professional wrestling. We have the ring out rule, right? So if you leave the ring on your own accord with both feet touching the ground, that's a violation. It's a warning or a violation, depending on where you're at and your infractions. So again, like, you can take the time out, but we want to keep the match going in the ring. So maybe you do take the time out. I don't know. But on the flip side is, if you go for a dive, that is also considered a ring out. So now that dive is more sacrificial to how the match goes and where you go in your match, you know. Maybe it benefits you, maybe it doesn't. You know, another part of the infraction rules is, if you go to the time limit draw, the person with the least infractions, so a time limit draw, both people get a point, but then there's a split decision point, and that's for the person who has the least infractions. So if you have the least infractions at the end of the match, you get an extra point, which hopefully will elevate you in the rankings in the long run. So again, breaking the rules, I don't know. That's really up to the person to decide whether or not it's beneficial.
I like that. I like that concept. And it sounds like every point's going to matter a lot throughout the season. So,
right.
Like, so being emphasized.
So you get 4 points for a referee stoppage. So it's whether it's a TKO or a knockout, whatever the case may be. It's 3 points for a pin or submission. It's 2 points for a count out or a forfeit. And a forfeit happens when somebody reaches their max violations. Once they hit all four violations, that's it. The match is over. They lose the match, and the winner is the person, obviously, who didn't hit four violations. And then you get the 1 point for the draw, plus if you get a split decision, then you get the extra point. And then you lose a point if you get disqualified.
I love it. Jeremy, do you have a question? Go ahead.
Yeah, do we have a studio show for this? Because as a fan of all the real sports, like,
yep,
everyone has a studio show. So do we have a studio show for this?
So in the beginning, well, I should say it like this. What we did this season, and I think what we are going to do for seasons to come, is we work with dojos. So we work with different places. We worked with Super Crazy Pro Wrestling in the beginning. Then in the middle of the season, you see a change of scenario, and we work with the Worldwide Wrestling Dojo and Cheeseburger. And at the end of the season, you're going to see we take it to the Monster Factory. And the reason we took it to the Monster Factory was because everything has to grow, right? As you're starting from the ground and working your way up. So we wanted our last show to be this, you know, spectacle of a show. And they have the entrance, they have the fog machines, they got everything there. So that was where we decided to go from there. Our goal in the future is to really work with other dojos around us. You know, I saw that Drew Gulak's opening Catch Point up in Philly. There's a couple other places that we really want to start having working relationships with and using their students and other talents as well as top tier independent talents and combining all that under one roof. So is it a studio setting? No, but you'll see it feels like you're in a studio setting, especially when we get into the Worldwide Wrestling Dojo.
Oh, no, what I'm asking, what I need out of all this is like, I need like inside the NBA, like you got Ernie, Chuck, Shaq, like breaking down all the matches, like breaking down all the strategy and everything. Like I needed to throw to the booth. Like that's what I need from this with the real sports feel.
So it's funny you mentioned that. Our first episode is called The Fight Insider. And that is where everybody's going to get acclimated to the concept. And we're going to have our draft selections there. It's a 3-round draft. But it's so funny you said inside the NBA, because that's what we wanted The Fight Insider to feel like, inside the NBA. So you're going to see a bunch of talking heads. You know, it's a lot of people who have been friends for a very long time. And I think it's going to be enjoyable. And during the season as well, you're going to see our first episode of something called The Round Rundown, which is going to be like Pardon the Interruption almost. And that's going to be like those quick, fast, you know, opinions and suggestions on everything that's gone on. What we hope is in season two, that along with Enter the Fight, which is our signature show, we're going to have The Round Rundown on a different day that basically covers what everything that happened on that previous round.
I mean, you sold me on all of this so far. I must say, as a fan of just real sports and who thinks wrestling could use a little bit more of that, it sounds like you guys are doing this the right way when it comes to that. And I appreciate that, because like some companies have tried to do this kind of concept, but then it's like, oh, well, it's wrestling. We got to go into the sports entertainment side. So it sounds like you guys are doing this the right way. I'm sold. I'm sold on it.
Very cool. Yeah. Speaking of that, Logan, I know you got a big match coming up on June 25th against a guy who's known kind of for like a pure rules style of wrestling, and this kind of being similar in a lot of ways with like the structure and the rule set. You're going to be wrestling Rhett Titus, and I'm really looking forward to that. What are your thoughts heading into this? And is this a matchup that you're also looking forward to?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. My thoughts are, I mean, he definitely has, sorry, that's my dog.
You're okay.
He doesn't like Red either, but Red obviously is very well versed in the pure rules sense, but I think I've done pretty well for myself getting to this match with Red. Me and Red actually have a decent amount of history. I think my third match, Red ran in and gave me a big boot and hit me with a move at the time that was called the Muff Driver. I was like 15. The Prince William County grounds in Virginia. Shortly after that, me and Rhett wrestled in a cage match in an abandoned department store in Stanton, Virginia, which is bizarre. I still have a scar on my hand from that dilapidated cage. So me and Rhett have a lot of history. I think he definitely has more experience with the pure rules, but I think I might be a little bit better at playing with them than he thinks or he is.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I don't always trust cagematch.com, but I think it said that you debuted in like 2009. Is that accurate?
My first match was 2008, but I was 17. So I think officially, yes, 2009.
Gotcha. And who trained you and got you kind of, you know, got you into the business and everything?
So I was trained by Jimmy Cicero, Bobby Shields, John Kerman, and Christian York back at a place called Kaida. That's where Mia Yim, I can't remember what her current raw name
is. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, yes.
My group, and Nyla Rose was well. But yeah, it was good. I mean, unfortunately, that school closed, I think, in 2009. And like I said, in Virginia, I couldn't wrestle until I turned 18. It was pretty much as soon as my birthday happened, the school closed and stopped running shows. So.
Well, who were some of your favorite wrestlers when you got into wrestling? Because obviously you must have been a fan at a pretty young age if you wanted to start doing it, you know, as a teenager.
Yeah, totally. For me, it was like Jeff Hardy, Sting, HBK. If they were like painted up or did like jumping moves, usually more of my guys, which is funny compared to how I wrestle now. But like super baby face. I mean, Shawn Michaels, I guess, is not, but like Sting and Jeff Hardy, Rey Mysterio a little bit. Those guys definitely.
Logan, you've made a handful of appearances on AEW Dark. You teamed with Bret Titus on AEW Dark. So couple of questions.
Team fight.
a couple of questions on that. One, how did all that come together? And then two, what do you make of Dark kind of now being done with? And you know, a lot of independent wrestlers have gotten some exposure from that, and now they'll kind of lose out on that exposure. So yeah, both those questions.
Yeah, how did it come about? Through my travels, like I said, my wrestling school closed down. So basically, since I was 19, I've been a vagabond, a nomad in independent wrestling. So I have appeared in a lot of places. And the benefit to that, though, is you meet a lot of people doing that. And hopefully, you know, you guys have a good match or they're impressed with you in some way and you make contact. So basically just contacts through independent wrestling led to AEW through lots of people I've known in Chikara, especially. And then Sanjay Dutt, I'm sorry, he came from my school as well. He didn't do any training, but he's a kind of pro graduate as well. And then with Dark closing, I do really think it's a bummer because it was a great opportunity just for really like every level of independent wrestling. Like you'd see people on there who are pretty new and maybe like arguably not ready for the bigger stage. But how do you learn other than getting on those shows? And then you see other guys like even like Rhett Titus or myself who have been around. Rhett obviously has been on bigger stages, but who have been around for a long time to finally kind of get that opportunity to show more of the world. That being said, I don't know that the views were super high for Dark or Elevation. They probably wouldn't have canceled them if they were killing it. But I do think it's a bummer that that was a good opportunity for a lot of people and even for their own guys in AEW to get the reps in. So I'm curious where the new show and all that stuff goes and where that leaves independent wrestling. So that, I think that was a huge benefit, honestly, to independent wrestling while those shows were on.
Yeah, it's looking like, you know, Ring of Honor can kind of be like that hybrid of like what Dark kind of was, almost like that in between AEW and whatever the independent scene, I guess, if you will. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of cool opportunity there with what they're doing. And that's kind of a good, kind of a tie in with like what Ernie was saying with a show like this, because, you know, you yourself, you know, you are getting appearances on AEW for, you know, Ernie's going to have to be ready for the intangibles throughout the season to make sure this thing goes all the way through. But, can you speak to Race Jackson at all or no?
Yeah, I'm aware of his career.
Okay. I'm fascinated by somebody this creative that has this many, you know, avenues, different things going on. Why, cause you made a pretty big pivot. Like Logan Easton LaRue is much different than Race Jackson. I don't know how else to ask other than just like, because it's so different.
Sure. Yeah. So basically Race Jackson came about because he had done a Mike Quackenbush seminar like a year before and it was cool. Learned a lot of stuff. Nothing really came of it. And then a year later, Race got a call from somebody and basically was like, "Hey, can you be Owen Hart?" And Race said, "I'll try." They basically, everything in the gimmick was kind of already there. They just needed a body, and Race didn't really know how to be energetic and was, frankly, Race was typically more of a rule breaker bad guy than a super energetic babyface. But like I said, I think Race also grew up a huge Sting and HBK. And so he did his best. It didn't always work, especially in the beginning. Like there was some Roman Reigns, like John Cena type hatred for that energy group. I don't know if you watched regularly, but it was very, the first our appearance was King of Trios and NRG was booed against the Ice Creams very, very badly.
It's funny that you brought that because thank you for saying all that because I didn't know how much you would want to elaborate on that. I'm familiar with kind of like the message board era of like all this, and I'm sure you're familiar. There were a lot of fans that like went from I hate this Crash Jackson guy to I like Logan Easton LaRue. Like there was a lot of those people that did not like Crash Jackson, but they love what you do as Logan. So I just think it's I saw that shift happen. So that's kind of why I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, that was like, So as Logan, up until that point, I had been, I would say more or less in smaller places, or even if the shows drew, it was just like here in the North Carolina, Virginia area, West Virginia, like there's no real internet fan base. People aren't watching the shows. This is pre-IWTV and everything. So Chikara was the first time Race Jackson had been exposed to a wider audience. And it's like, oh, wow. It's like, there's reality of like strangers talking trash about you on the internet that it's hard. Like, Race Jackson's partner, Hype Rockwell, was not as good about just like, you can't respond. Like, it's not good for anybody to respond. And that being said, some of the criticism was plenty valid. I watched Race Jackson matches and I'm like, that guy is super unlikable. I don't know how he would have been cheered anyway, but it all worked out.
No, but I remember that era. I remember that era of like fandom fondly of like people like trying to figure out like who's in the ant colony and like all that, you know, like that kind of internet era. Like, so I no, that's cool. That's really cool. And that just speaks to like how long you've been in the game, man. Like, I mean, this is what almost 15 years now.
I started training at the very end of my junior year of high school. So yeah, it's literally now half of my life I've been falling down.
Oh man.
This is fascinating to me. I was not aware of the Race Jackson stuff and learning of this. So is this a message board thing? Is this what I'm...
No. Well, so what I'm kind of saying, well, there were these conversations and stuff like happening. So I don't know. That's kind of hard to...
Board was called, it was like the 101 forums or something like that.
Yeah. And even since then, I bet even if you were to go to like, I don't know if I pulled it up right now, if I went to Cage Match and just looked at like you could just look at Cage Match comments right now. I can look right now. And there's people that are like the shout out to Dan Talks Wrestling from a comment in May of 2019. The former Race Jackson has improved leaps and bounds over the last few years. And it's since switching. Got a totally reverse course on this guy. The whole Race Jackson stuff was bad, but as Logan Easton LaRue and allegedly blank, he's been killing it. So it's like, that's, yeah.
Kind of if you go on that Cage Match, like any Chikara reviews from like 2014 to 2016, there's a lot of ones that'll be like all positive about the show and then something about like, I just hate Race Jackson, like kind of unrelated.
Well, thank you so much for like talking about that today, because I'm sure there's a lot of fans that would like want to know about kind of the history with you and these gimmicks and stuff. So.
Sure. Yeah, I'm always happy to talk about it.
Or allegedly, you know who these people are at the very least. So that's it.
If fascinating. Go ahead, Jensen.
And I was gonna ask Ernie, like, because I know you got, you know, a bunch of other stuff going on with Fight Pro. Is there any other like big names, big matches, anything you wanted to throw out there, like for the Fightful audience that's watching this today?
Yeah. So, like you said, June 25th is our season finale. It's a doubleheader event. We split the show in half. So first half of the show is one event. It's called Multi-Man Mayhem, or the M3. It's going to be an annual event. It's where we let the rules go a little bit more. We maybe have a couple more scramble matches or a couple four ways, and the winners of those matches basically earn the opportunity to either get a contract for season two and be a part of the draft and secure their position. Or for some, if they're in singles matches, they have the option to either secure their spot in the division or maybe even try and become a contender and compete for our inaugural championships, which are going to be crowned in the second half of the show, which is going to be called Rise of Champions. And there you'll see the main event is for the hybrid championship. It is Rhett Titus and Logan Easton LaRoe. We also have our grapplers division championship, which will have the suplex queen Tiny Tenali going up against the greatest damn woman, Gia Scott. And we also have our tag team division title match, which is going to be Anthony Bennett from the Cruiserweight Classic and his partner Tony Leanda taking on Dog Nation, Alan Claypool and Sage Matthews. Not only that, we're also going to have Delirious wrestling the only Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belt world champion, Mushmaster Tim Spriggs. And we will have, right now, I announced it today, it'll be the Savage Gentleman, Victor Benjamin, taking on the Ace of Space, LSG. And plus, there's going to be more matches announced as the weeks come.
Yeah, I know there's like, I'll give a shout out to a good friend of the show that I know that you have done some work with recently, Vinny Pacifico. What was it like bringing in Vinny? Because it was cool to see him on the YouTube channel.
Well, Vinny may get the boot. He was supposed to be on this last show, but when I saw that he's dipping his raviolis in ketchup, I think I may have to call it quits on Vinny. No, Vinny will actually be a part of the show too. We haven't announced his match yet. Working with Vinny is it's a lot of fun because he's very high energy. He's also good friends with Rhett and came highly recommended. And he's got a personality, man. And again, you know, the goal in Fight was to see these characters thrive under rule sets. And I think we really see that in this first season. I couldn't be happier with the team we've put together, the talent. You're going to see production value like no other. I mean, I have scoured IWTV stuff, even Fight, the Fight app. I've scoured looking for stuff that is remotely close to what we have. Our production quality is second to none. My team, Trinovis Production, my backstage hand, Kevin Wood, and my creative producer, Jason Heat, really, really put together an incredible, incredible production quality, whether it be storytelling or whether it be the visual that you're going to see week to week on IWTV.
I got to ask about Prince Nana and the shrimp cocktails. How much are the shrimp cocktails flowing at these events with Prince Nana being the owner of the company?
You know, shrimp cocktail is flowing every single time I see this man. We were thinking about actually doing a Embassy VIP exclusive ticket where you would not only sit with Prince Nana, but you would have shrimp cocktail on ice ready to eat with Prince Nana. Yeah. I thought, what an experience that would have been.
That's really good. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah, but you know, Prince Nana really... without him, I don't think this happens. You know, there were countless times after Ring of Honor shows way back when I used to work there, and we would just be in diners and we'd be talking about what we could do. And here we are now with Fight Pro, and I really think we have something special here. And I implore anybody to really give this a shot, because these guys, you know, whether it was Logan, Rhett, Vinny, Moses, all these guys that have sacrificed their time to make this something, it's going to be something special. I truly believe that. This is not your regular independent wrestling show. This is an actual TV product, which we hope someday grows into something bigger.
Yeah, if I can add on to what Ernie said, I totally agree with everything. I think the production is truly like outrageously good. And also just the roster is like, there's so much knowledge with veteran independent wrestlers. And then, like you said, the Mushmaster, Tim Spriggs, like if that guy's not signed within the next 6 months to 12 months, and there's plenty of people like on the roster. I think like Matt Quay is a fantastic wrestler. Yeah. Devontae is a fantastic wrestler. And a lot of these guys, as good as they are, they might not always be on the big streams that are happening. And
Oh, what just happened? Oh, okay.
I'm sorry about that.
That might have been me on accident.
No worries. Yeah, but I think a lot of these guys on the roster, you might not always see them on the GCW stream or that, like post-COVID, I don't know that the streams are as popular as they once were. But this is a crazy good roster. Just like almost, not even almost, I would say every single person on the roster, you could pluck out and put them on TV on Monday or Wednesday or Friday. And I don't think they would stand out as being just an indie guy or anything like that.
No, very cool. Well, and speaking of that, Logan, as we kind of wrap up, I did want to ask you, you know, speaking of these like bigger promotions and stuff, like, do you have aspirations of working, you know, for any of those companies, AEW, WWE, anything like that? And also, is there any like dream matches, like bucket list matches that you still have on your list that you want to, you know, check off before you're done?
Yeah, I mean, if somebody hands me a contract, I'd be happy to sign it. I don't know how much.
Let's go!
I don't know how much longer I can. Three matches. I wrestled Chris Daniels last month, and I'd wrestled Jay Lethal last year. I'd like to keep crossing off former Ring of Honor champions, if possible. On top of the all-time dream match would be Jeff Hardy. I don't know how possible that is nowadays. Trying to think who else. The indies are like, it's just so different from when I started, or even like when I joined Chikara. It's just like, guys are really like overnight, and girls too, obviously, are like overnight sensations now. And it's cool to some degree, and it's maybe could use a little more seasoning, but it is really cool to see just like how quickly people can blow up and how good, like, I mean, just almost any indie show you go to. When I started, there were so many shows. It'd be like six matches of chin lock, duck two, clothesline, and that was like the high spot of the show. And now it's like every single show, like everybody's just awesome, like just great wrestlers. All I think as wrestlers and as fans, to some degree, we're almost spoiled with how good wrestling is. There's still things missing, and I think that Fight actually provides something that is missing, which is the weekly episodic television with real stories and the sports presentation. Not every match has three bumps and a dive and all that kind of stuff.
It's been wild even just seeing the progression of IWTV, like, because I remember, and I know you do too, because I remember you competing for the Powerbomb.tv title back when it was Powerbomb.tv. But I remember thinking then it was like, wait, what? They're like actually going to consolidate like a lot of these indie companies and put them all on one platform for,
yeah.
You know, I think it was still only $10 a month at the time. And now obviously there's becoming a lot of streaming options, but that's with everything. That's with like what's happened with Netflix, that's what's happening with Twitch. Is, you know, it's the natural progression of how things happen. But IWTV is something I really stand behind. I'm a real big fan of Dylan Hales and a lot of the people that are like behind the scenes there. I think they do great work. And I think it's really cool that y'all are a part of IWTV for this series, because especially for you, Logan, like I just said, seeing the progression of like where you came from, where there was no independent wrestling really even on the internet. Like when you started, maybe at best, like ROH pay-per-view, like,
yeah,
be like the tippy top of what you could, you know, and then to now, from that to Powerbomb.tv and IWTV to where the landscape is now, I think it's cool that you get to be a part of all that.
Yeah, definitely. And especially, like you said, with that iPay-per-view, that growth of the independent, there's no AEW without that either, you know? And what WWE is now, I don't think that exists without that that internet wrestling culture really taking off. I love Dylan, too, and Jerry, so shout out to both.
Yeah, good people over there at IWTV, absolutely. Yeah. Did they give y'all, like, a promo code or anything that y'all want to plug? Or obviously, y'all can plug. Well, actually, before that, I apologize. We have a question we ask everybody, and it's kind of hard. I think y'all might be in a good spot maybe to do this. We ask everybody the coolest thing in their rooms. If you guys are able to, like, show us something cool that's in the room that you're in or in your house, if you don't mind you getting up and showing us.
Yes.
I'm in my kitchen.
My wife. What's that behind you, Ernie, in the frame?
So my wife and I, because we have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, so it's hard for us to go on dates every now and then. But when we do, I bought us Our Framed Adventures. And what you do is you scratch it off and you do whatever the adventure tells you to do. And then you put a little picture in there and you create a memory out of it. And it's supposed to actually be a bunch of pictures, which we haven't really gotten around to doing. Everything's still blank. So we've only scratched off one. Hopefully we're going to get that done this June 26th on her birthday. But that's our Framed Adventures. Nothing net.
Oh, that's cool.
Look, we're talking a little bit off air about kids. As someone also with kids, I love this idea, because I think we've had like one date over the past, you know, been married since October, and there ain't been many dates because kids are kids. What are you gonna do, right?
Was it to see Fast 10? Was that the one date?
Yeah, Fast 10. I took her to see Fast 10. Yeah.
My wife, God bless her, she is very supportive through this whole thing, but she probably wants to kill me with as much time as I spend for Nana trying to do everything. Cause again, you know, He's doing his AEW stuff, so he's got me doing the calls to Dylan. He's got me doing the media stuff. He's got me, you know, whatever it is. I have watched these shows about 100 million times, and I cannot wait till I get to sit down in front of IWTV and actually watch it as a fan finally.
Yes. The wives are the true stars around, especially when kids are involved. The wives are the true stars when it comes to pursuing passions and dreams.
Yeah, they truly are.
Logan, what's the coolest thing you got?
All right, Ernie did the romantic thing, so I'll get a picture of me and my wife in the corner over here, but down in the basement where she makes me keep all of my cool stuff. My two Batmans here.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Batman, love it.
And then my first AEW match was against Tony Nese. I don't know if you can see, but
yeah, I'm hitting
the missile dropkick on him. Awesome. My wife, actually, she's not super into the wrestling, but she did get me that picture framed, so she supports it a little bit.
that's awesome. That's a great picture there. And we like the Batman stuff too. I'm a big fan of the collectibles. If you can't tell behind me, I got like action figures and stuff. Yeah. Very cool. Jeremy, do you have any other questions before we get all the plugs and stuff out there?
No, I was going to let you guys, you know, whatever you have to plug, where everybody can find it. Like Jensen mentioned, if there's any type of promo code or anything, whatever you got to put out there to plug, the floor is yours.
Logan, you want to go first?
Sure. Nothing too exciting. VCW this weekend coming up on June 3rd down in at ODU in Norfolk, Virginia. There's two shows. They should be good. And then 2 weeks after that, I don't know if I can make this official yet, but I might be in Cleveland, Ohio against an old friend. And then obviously at the end of the month, June 25th, Fight Pro.
I'm sorry you have to come to Cleveland. That sucks.
We'll see.
I'm from Ohio.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's why I said it. What's that?
Mistake on the lake is Cleveland. Is that right?
Something like that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's, you know, Ohio's Ohio. What are you going to do? Ernie, how about you? What can we put out there?
All right. So obviously, please, everyone, go check out June 6th, next Tuesday, starting at 7 p.m. every single week on IWTV Fight Pro. And it's going to start with the Fight Insider. You're going to see our 3-round draft. You're going to get the concept. We're going to do our best to translate everything you guys need to know pertaining to what you're going to experience with Fight Pro and enter the fight in the coming weeks. Other than that, you know, because Nana loves the media so much, he wanted to give your fans a 15% discount for tickets for June 25th at the Monster Factory. So if they go to fightpro.com, and they go to grab their tickets, or they go to Eventbrite and they go to grab their tickets, they just got to put in Fight with 2 T's Spotlight, all capital, all one word, Fight with 2 T's and Spotlight. That'll get them 15% off on any tickets they choose to purchase.
That's nice. Awesome. We appreciate Very that. Cool. Tell Prince Nana we said thank you for that.
Hey, man. And then, you know, there's going to be shrimp cocktail too in June 25th. So everybody better make their way down. Also, just, you know, follow us on social media, you know, on Twitter, it's at Fight Pro. Same thing with Instagram at Fight Pro and Fight Pro Wrestling on Facebook. More followers we get, the better this is going to be. And again, we're just very grateful to be on here. I'm very grateful for the fans that are going to experience this. And this is going to be a great show. I really, really feel like this is going to be something special that everybody's going to be talking about for years to come.
Look, we appreciate you guys joining us. Again, I'm sold on it. I love the concept on it. I hope it works. I hope it is successful. And guys, all the information, everybody listening to this, watching this, all the information is down below in the description. You can click on any of the links right there, whether it's the social media links, whether it's to buy the tickets, whether it's to use the promo code on the checkout. So check out all of that in the link below. Check out the show when it is on IWTV as well. Premieres on June 6th and then the big show on June 25th. Everyone go check it out. Ernie, Logan, we appreciate it. Thank you guys for joining us here. Guys, we'll be right back here on The Spotlight.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.